and you go over the side of the hot air balloon.
It's probably bad advice to do what I did.
I think you should hire a mariachi band. So, you know, if at first you don't succeed, don't try skydiving.
We're 13 years together, three kids, so it worked out well.
I think you should forgive them.
Not my fault.
Got some good advice for you. No, you don't.
What's up, everybody? This is Chesco, the speech prop, and this is Bad Advice Wednesdays, the show where myself and a guest intentionally try to ruin your life. I used to say that we'll try not to ruin your life, but you all know what you're getting into when you set these questions in. We are going to harm you, metaphorically, of course. I'd never actually harm you. Today, though, to help assist me in this life ruining is my friend and then somebody that I'm sure many of you are already familiar with, Sizer. My first question I like to do is just kind of throw it to you and give yourself a chance to share with my audience who you are. If they were to go to your page on TikTok or Instagram, wherever you want them to follow you, what would they see? What should they be expecting?
Okay. Hello. My name is Sizer. I go by Si usually, but I am a content creator on TikTok and Instagram. I'm now on Facebook and YouTube as well, but I do like observational commentary most of the time, but my occupation is a boudoir photographer. So I'm an intimate portraits photographer. And what that means is basically when people want to, I guess, feel more sensual or love their body and stuff like that, then they'll hire me to do a photo shoot for them. Sometimes people get them for wedding gifts and stuff like that, but that's what I do for a living. And then on social media, I talk about just all kinds of topics. It started with photography, and then it started with, people were asking, why am I doing these photo shoots? And so I started making content about women's empowerment, which was the reason why the photo shoots. So I started going to women's empowerment, which started going into, you know, things that are oppressing women, which led to patriarchal stuff. And, you know, if I talk about that, then I got to talk about misogyny. And obviously men don't like that. They're like, why aren't you talking about men's stuff? So I got to talk about positive masculinity. And so I started doing that. And they didn't like that either, by the way. But
shocking, right?
But I just, yeah. So I did all of that on a TikTok. I've been doing that for about 2 years now. That whole process took about 2 years. But I was all on TikTok. When I started doing Instagram, which was in March or April, I think April of this year, I decided, you know what? I'm just gonna do whatever I want. Like I'm not gonna like pigeonhole myself like that. It's still going to be about those same issues a lot of the time, because that's what I like talking about and stuff like that. But I'm just going to make it like it's just me. Like, I just want to talk about stuff, give my takes on things, and talk about, you know, what I think about. And a lot of people really gravitate towards it. It's been growing really well. So, that's what I've been doing. It's just like I just share my thoughts. I don't claim to be an expert on anything. I don't claim to be professional in any capacity outside of photography.
Well, let's talk more about content creation in a second, because I'm sure we'll chat a lot. We have a very similar take on a lot of issues. Let's talk about photography first. So how did that come about, right? Because that, and let's talk about the thing you are a professional at right now. What what led you into photography?
That was very random. So I was an IT. I was an information systems technician for the military, and then I did the same thing when I got out. And I've been doing IT for about 10 years, right? I read a book that was called Learn Better. It was by this guy, Ulrich Boser, I think his name is. But it's Learn Better. It was to help you learn better. And I enjoy learning. I'm very big on learning things. It's one of my hobbies. So I was reading this book, and I was thinking, like, how do I know if this is working? Like, if I'm actually learning, if I'm learning how to learn. And so I decided to take up just random skills to see if I could figure, you know, see how fast I could pick them up. I tried poker. I did that for about 30 days. By the end of the 30 days, I was playing online and like for money and stuff. I was good. I did the same thing with like sleight of hand. And then like so I was just learning a bunch of stuff. But one month it came to photography. And so I spent the first week just learning all the basics, learning my camera, learning exposure triangle, all that stuff. And I was doing shoots in downtown LA, just on the streets of downtown LA. I posted those on Instagram, and people were like, some of my friends were like, hey, I didn't know you were getting into photography. Can we do a photo shoot? So I was like, yeah, sure. We do a photo shoot in downtown LA on like a, I did, my first photo shoot was on like a parking garage with like a helipad. And yeah, security came and got us out of there. Like, we weren't supposed to be there, but the shots came out really good. So I was really happy about it. So I did that. In my second photo shoot, a friend saw that first photo shoot that I posted. Second friend said, hey, I've got a pole in my room that I need to get rid of because I got a new roommate coming in. Can we do like a pole dancing shoot before I get rid of it? And I'm like, yeah, sure. So this is my second photo shoot ever. And it's all, and it's like starting to go in like in that direction. But that's kind of like how my friends are anyway. So it wasn't like a huge shock to me. But yeah, it's already going that direction. So we do that shoot. I didn't really like the photos. I was kind of upset because I thought I had a good handle on, you know, shutter speed, but I didn't. And so obviously when you're moving on a pole, if you don't have this shutter speed right, it's just gonna be blurry. So like half the shoot came out like that until I started figuring out what I was doing wrong. So I didn't really like those photos, but I gave them to my friend and she loved them. She was like stunned. Like she was actually like on the verge of tears. I'm like, I didn't realize
it was in another life you're aware of. I was a photographer as well, and that was the thing that made me really, and I think I believe this is what you're getting at, right? The thing that made me like fall in love with it was that reaction, right? Was when you give someone their photos and they're just so you're like, oh, I gave you something you liked, and it just feels so good, right?
Right? It just felt really good. So I was like, I want to do that again. That's great. That was really, really awesome. So yeah, I posted those photos of the pole dancing, and I actually had a coworker at my job who also was a photographer. But he specialized in boudoir photography. So he saw my photos and he was like, do you do boudoir? And I'm like, I don't know what that is. And he's like, I just got this camera. Like, I don't even know what I'm doing. And he's like, dude, I think that you'd be like really good at this. And so he shows me some of his photos. I'm like, oh, wow, that's insane. Like, that's really cool. So I asked that same friend I did the pole dancing shoot with, hey, do you want to try a boudoir shoot? And she's like, I don't know what that is. And I'm like, yeah, I don't either. We Googled some poses and we went and tried it out. She had some lingerie that she wanted to try out anyway. So we went and knocked that out. The photos came out crazy. She had like, it was like another really like, oh my God, is that me? Like that kind of thing. And I'm just like, this is so cool. Like this is and
the thing
so
is about
awesome.
Like for yeah. the world, because I did portrait photography, right? I didn't quite go to the boudoir route. But in general though, every single, because you know, you talk to them, and especially if you're someone who is conversational and friendly and nice, and they can sense that, they open up to you. And I don't think I've ever worked with a model that didn't have a horror story from working with a photographer. And that's, it's so important to it. And it's one of the reasons I don't want to give it up entirely, is that you hear so many horrific stories about photographers, especially always men, right? Going into these shoots and setting up and trying to take advantage of them, or trying to all of a sudden shift the shoot into something they weren't comfortable with doing. And it happens, and it's literally 100% of the models I work with had a story about that. It was terrifying to hear.
And it's what's crazy about that is that they're really nonchalant about that sometimes. Like they're like, yeah, no, he was kind of a creeper, but
because,
you know,
because
the
it's so
okay.
common.
Like, wait.
That, yeah.
What do you mean?
Right.
What do you mean he was a creeper? Like,
I have a lot of friends that will go into modeling and stuff now, and I always tell them, you know, there are certain things to look out for, certain warning signs. Right, if a photographer is adamant against you bringing someone with you, the shoot, just don't go. Right, you know, that's like if they're
yep,
like there's something
flag.
Else going huge on in there. Yeah, remember correctly, you started doing social media mostly as a way to kind of like show off your work and kind of like get more clients, like it's part of your business, right? So how did you transition into? Because, you know, the way I found you was not photography, right? Even though we both are photographers, right? I found you doing. Yeah,
that's interesting, isn't it?
I think one of your first videos I saw was your fake podcast, the anti-misogyny. Yeah, I think that was the first one that popped up. I was like, oh, this guy's okay. I'm listening. I like what he has to say.
It's very wild that I'm on a podcast right now, because this, if you'd have told me that this would have ever taken place, I would not have believed you. This was not supposed to go this way. I'm really glad that it did, though.
Well,
this is very, like,
interesting. I have a video from like a little over a year ago where I made fun of the fact I was like, I will never do a podcast. just, I'm not, because the whole time I see it, I'm like, yeah, it's always this horrific stuff. And I was like, all right, there are other, you can do a podcast and not be a horrible person. It's just, it isn't intrinsic to it. It's just that a lot of horrible people are attracted to podcasting. So it's not the podcast that makes you horrible. And I don't know why that was in my head.
Right. No, I definitely agree with you. I definitely thought it was that. You know what I think it was? Because I was making content that was about my photography, and I was kind of appealing to the fact that a lot of men don't like when their partner get these photo shoots. Not a lot of men, but a lot of insecure men, like men who don't like. It's the same kind of men who don't like their women being perceived at all. Like they don't like if their partner. Like if another person notices their partner, it's a problem. Like, you know what I mean? So I was making videos kind of making fun of those guys. Like, you know, that song, that Jack Harlow song was like, "What's poppin'? Don't mind me, just watch it." So I did that. And so I had my camera and I'm like posing. And then I look at the guy because he's like mean mugging me, like staring at me. And I'm like, "What's popping?" And he's just like, "Don't mind me, just watch it." So, and that one, that so I, it started becoming this thing of, well, why are these guys, why are like, are you dealing with this? Like, are these guys like really problematic? And not really. The guys that came into the sessions when guys did come into sessions, they did kind of mess up the photo shoot, but they weren't being like mean or, you know, I mean, they were being pretty supportive. But I did want to like kind of highlight that is an issue. A lot of people were like, "No, this actually does happen. I've experienced this." Da da da. And so I started talking about these guys who are really controlling of their partner and wanting their, you know, trying to dictate what their partner can and cannot do, which is like an oppressive thing to do. And so once I started talking about that, started talking about just other oppressive things that women have to deal with because of, you know, men in their lives or men that aren't even actually really in their lives, which brought open like the whole patriarchy thing. But the reason for the anti-misogyny podcast was that earlier that year, I think it was like in January, it was like December or January of that year, there was a wave of women that were doing mock podcast clips on TikTok. They were wearing like these filtered mustaches and they were like, "No, you need to understand, a high value female won't take just any male. You know, these males have to, like, these males are getting out of control. They're just out here in the streets." And I thought it was so funny how they were doing it. It was just hilarious. And I was like, I want to do something like that. Like, I want to make a video like that. And yeah, it took me a while to, like, the wave was more or less over by the time I'd done my video. But like, it seemed like a good opportunity at the time. And I was just like, no, I could do this right now. And so I was trying to think, how could I make this not suck? Like, how could I make an idea of a podcast that doesn't suck? What would that look like? And so that's kind of where that comes from is the goal was to make a mock podcast that kind of was like making fun of, you know, actual podcasts, but it didn't suck. What would it look like if it wasn't shitty? So I wanted to do the all men topic because that was like rising up. People were talking about that a little bit and I want to go ahead and put my take in. I really like analogies. Analogies are one of my favorite things to make. So I spend a lot of time like, you know, how can I think about this differently? Like I'll take an idea and be like, okay, how can I think about it differently and make an analogy with that? In this instance, I made what's now being called the gun analogy.
Understand why women say all men, but really you do. You understand that logic because you like guns, right?
True.
And what's one of the first safety tips they give you about guns is treat every gun
like it's loaded.
Like it's loaded, right? Exactly. Even if you know it's not loaded, all guns are loaded, right? That's how you look at every gun. Because you can't look at somebody's gun and tell if it's loaded or not, right? Women are doing the exact same thing because any man could be her assailant. She can't look at a man and be like, "Oh, that's the good one." So she treats all men like they're potential assailants. The same way we do guns. It's the same.
And that comes from my own experiences in the military. We have to learn gun safety. My father's a gun instructor, so he's all about gun safety. And so I was like, you know, all men, you know, is this idea that you don't know who's the bad guy, so you just treat all of them like they could be. You have to be cautious of all of them, which is the same thing that we do with guns. we treat every gun as if it's loaded. It's one of the core rules of handling firearms. And even, and you don't think that firearms are like evil or anything. You just understand the risks associated with them. And so you treat it as such. Like it's just like a safety practice. And so I just like beamed that into the mock podcast, and people were like, oh my God, people like, it was like, it was crazy. It was like the most viral thing I'd ever made. And so, so I just ran with that. I did that podcast.
And I'm sure men heard that analogy and they were totally okay with it, right?
Oh, no, not at all. Not at all. Unless they had a very, very intimate understanding of guns, or they were already kind of on the fence of you know, that kind of idea of all men. They weren't like completely opposed to all men. They maybe didn't understand. Those guys, they were like, you know, this kind of makes, like, I get what you're trying to say. Like,
it is kind of like the ones more that are receptive. Gonna get angry, the most angry about it are the ones that will also, though, say that the role of men is to protect you from other men. They're basically making the same argument. Yeah. It's just they don't like the fact that
exactly
it's being said in defense of women or defense of, or in critique of.
Exactly. Yeah. No, if it's your daughter and you're trying to
all men
your
are the worst
safe,
thing in the world. They are guns. They are the worst. Yeah. But how dare you? How dare they you all, say that?
They all think the same. I know what they're thinking because we all they're all the same. You know, he only wants one thing. It's all men
until someone says I disagree with.
And now it's a problem
that might include me.
Exactly. Yeah. So I did a few episodes of that. Those all did well. I was really surprised.
One last thing I want to talk about before we get into the bad advice section of this. One of my favorite things that happened to you that I just enjoyed watching was the your collaboration with Charlie Curtis Beard. With the
so
I gotta ask. So I'll put in for the people watching or listening. I'll like plop in that your little song you made in response to the that one video, which was brilliant. I know a bunch of us do edit it.
Men do not want slutty women.
False. We like good girls over here. We like bad girls over here. We like girls who fuck for work, and we like girls who wanna twerk. Now, if you do not wanna be a slut, I respect your boundaries. But if you wanna be a slut, then baby, break it down for me.
Was that literally just something you just came up with off the spot for that stitch? Or like, what's the story behind that?
Yeah. So this is the story behind that. I was on my way to work. I was late for work. I was like an hour or two late for work as an IT. And I was in my car and I was just parking and I was looking at TikToks while I was like positioning my car and sitting in my car and not going to work. So that video came up and it was like, men do not like slutty women. Men don't want their women to be out in this, you know. And I was like, what? I love slutty. Like, what is he talking about? Like, he's not speaking for me. So what I thought was, I need to make a video about this. Like, I need to make a video, you know, saying, hey, no, this guy's speaking for himself. Please bring more slutty women in my way. Like, I disagree. Which, by the way, a lot of men did make videos, but I was really happy about that. I was glad there was like a wave of men who were like, no, don't, he doesn't speak for us. But I was like, I need to make a video. But as I was thinking about how I was just going to make it in the car, I got a text message from my coworker, like, dude, where are you? Like, what are you doing? So I was like, okay, I can't make like a full like 30 minutes of, you know, recording, re-recording, editing, all that stuff. Let me just do something really quick to do a place marker, and then I'll make a real video later. And so I was just in my car, and I was like, okay, I got a little jingle. I'll just make a little jingle. So I'm just beating on my car. And I'm like, we like good girls over here. We like bad girls over here. And I'm thinking, what can I put in? What are some important points? You know, the idea of, you know, slutty women, but boundaries are important. Let's put that in there. Let's make it, you know, we like girls who like to twerk, who they just like dancing. And we like the girls who fuck for work. We like the sex workers too. Like we want to support all kinds of women. Like, you know what I'm saying? We're not trying to say any is better than the other or whatever. We like all of them. And so, yeah, I'm just in my car, like, we like good girls over here. And so I'm like, wait, okay, I can't let people see that I'm in my car, because I hadn't really been doing car videos like that. I maybe done a couple, but I wasn't really in my car like that.
Not usually, like me, who makes like 90% of my videos.
So I was like,
waiting for my gift.
Yeah. So I was like, okay, I need to put a filter on, but what filter do I want to use? And I remembered I'd seen this filter. Another creator had used it. And I was like, okay, this is the time where I'll use that filter, because I'd wanted to anyway. I just didn't have an excuse for it. And the filter was like the wavy arms in like that you see out in a car dealership. It was just like one of those. And it was so funny. I could not contain myself. I was laughing so hard while I was recording it, but I got through it. So yeah, the beat that you're hearing is just me banging on the handrest in my car, and I just record it. And yeah, I put that out, and then I go to work. And when I come back, it's like the most viral thing.
We were talking about it.
Like, it's got like almost
a bunch
like...
of us do energy with it, because I had made a response to the other guy that you had made a response to, and I was like, this is way better than what I wrote or what I said. And my, this is just dance. This.
I got so many new mutuals. Like I was introduced. I'm pretty sure that was probably where I first saw your content as well. No. I remember when I first saw yours. The first time I saw yours was you were talking about how you didn't see any flaws with your wife. That was that video, dude. Like, I'm not even married. I was like tearing up and stuff. I was like, bro, that's beautiful. Like,
that was one of those ones. I recorded that one. I was like burnt out. You know, we go through those phases where we just don't want to make content. And I was out of it. I was like still COVID going on at that point. I'm just, you know, emotionally just out of it at that point. And I recorded it and I just started like, and I don't script anything. So I started crying like a little bit during it. And I was planning,
I was crying because he's making me cry.
I'm going to record this later because I don't want, like, at that point, I'd never show, like, that was not something I was still in my mind. I can't put that on the internet. That's not a burrito. But I was, like I said, I was so burnt out that I was like, I don't want to record it again. And so I just posted it as a like whatever, and then it ends up being like, yeah, I think arguably my biggest video ever made.
If my wife lets herself go after I have kids with her,
I do portrait photography, and my wife once asked me why I don't edit her photos the way I edit my client photos. And I didn't know what she was talking about. And she said, you know, you take off all of their flaws and their wrinkles and everything else about them. And I was like, I do the same to yours. And she was like, no, you don't. And it took me a while to realize that I can't edit her photos because there are no flaws. Every flaw that she sees is part of our history. Everything she doesn't like about herself reminds me of our three beautiful children. And I just can't fathom thinking the way this guy in this video thinks.
Dude, like, that video hit me. I was like,
well, but back to you. I don't want to talk about
that. That was instant follow-up.
This video's taken off, right? And then how does Charlie, like, message DM you, or how's that work out?
So a bunch of people did duets of, like, they did verses on it. There was a bunch that were really good. He was the first person who did one, and then he also messaged me, like, hey, like, could we actually make this a song? Because people really like the remix. I really like the remix. I stitched his remix. I thought it was great.
We like good girls over here.
Oh my.
We like bad girls over here.
We do.
We like girls who fuck for work. All right. We like girls who wanna twerk night.
We like the girlies. Don't care if they clean or they dirty. So let me just make it clear.
And he was like, yo, can we like actually do a song? Like, I wanna put this out and like do something with it. And I was like, yeah, like, because the alternative was just
to let it die on TikTok. After 2 weeks, it then just goes away. Yeah.
Right. So he was like, yeah. So let's strike while the iron's hot. Let's hash out all the details and let's just get it going. So he came up with verses, like within like a couple of days, I think. Like it was like less than a week. He already had his verses done. And we went and set up a photo shoot. And he shows me he plays a song. I'm like, yo, this is hot. This is good. So, yeah, we record a couple of videos of us, like, you know, jamming out while we're listening to it and stuff. And then we put it out on Spotify. I think right now it's got like 2 million streams on Spotify. Yeah, it went crazy. It was insane.
Charlie's great. I talked to him for a little bit at VidCon and some of his, like, the musicians he works with. Man, super down to earth, just nice guy. You never know.
Yeah, he's just a regular dude. Yeah, he's very cool. Yeah. He's very chill.
That's awesome, man. It is wild. Great. It's wild to me the amount of stuff and opportunities. Like, same with me. Like, you know, we both kind of stumbled into it. I think that's the 90% of us that are doing social media right now accidentally, you know, became content creators.
Accidentally, yeah. That's what happened. My mind,
the amount of opportunities that come out of this that are just like, I'm like, how am I interviewing this person now? Or how am I going to this conference? How am I going to this a movie premiere? Like, who the hell am I? And you were freaking, it was a song on Spotify. You know, you were doing IT.
Yeah, like that's.
Ago, and now you have a song on Spotify.
I was doing IT too.
Like, that's wild. Yeah. That's great. Well, I think that's a perfect place to transition now of after we've talked about all the things people love about you to talk about some things and create some content that people will hate about you.
Yeah, okay, for sure. I guess.
So let's give some bad advice. So this is our warning once again. If anybody is tuning in for the first time, this is intentionally people submitted these questions knowing that we are going to give them bad advice, right? So that we are not somebody didn't send us emails asking me genuinely for help. It was sent to my badadvicewednesdays@gmail.com email address with the intention that we are going to give them bad advice. So do not listen to us. If you listen to us, whether you are listening at home or if you wrote these questions, that's on you. Legally, we are now free from this because I've given that little warning right here. Are you ready to ruin some lives?
Thank you. Thank you for that.
Question number one, Dime. How should I propose to my girlfriend?
How should I propose to my girlfriend? Okay. All right. So I'm going to give you a legitimate proposal idea that I had.
This is bad advice. Remember.
All right. So.
Okay.
Yeah. Okay. I'm being 100%. Okay. I'm being 100% serious. This is a real proposal that I was going to do. A hot air balloon, right? You bring her up in a hot air balloon. It'll be like a group of you guys. So your friends, her friends. You bring up a hot air balloon. She doesn't know you've got a parachute on under your hot air balloon. I'm going to explain why. So when you get up there, that's when you start talking about how, you know, beautiful and amazing she is and all that kind of stuff. And then you say, hey, to your friend, can I get the ring? Now she just heard you say that. It's a very close space. And so she's like, wait, the ring? And so your friend tosses the ring at you. And then you try to catch it and you miss. And you go over the side of the hot air balloon and you fall down. Now you're falling and she's losing her mind because her boyfriend just fell over the edge. Then you pop your parachute. You pop your parachute. Right, the ring's obviously it's a fake. Yeah. It's not the real ring. You pop the parachute and the parachute says, will you marry me on the parachute? So she's looking down at you falling and then it's just, will you marry me?
Here's the thing.
It's genius. No, it's genius.
It's genius. I don't know if making your now fiance or possible fiance thinking you're going to die.
Your possible fiance.
That's where the bad advice
But I mean, it's...
That is... It would be a story.
It's big, though.
That is something nobody would ever forget. Oh, man.
Yeah, wow. Exactly.
That's legitimate. I don't know if that's bad advice. I think it would be bad advice for me. I would never do. I don't ever want a parachute, by the way. It's completely off topic. That is, everyone says, well, wouldn't you want it when you're old? I'm like, God, no. I have no interest whatsoever in possibly doing that. Let alone, I guess, if I was ever going to do it, maybe that's when you got the pop in the question.
Yeah. That's the exact time. Your first time parachuting, really. It should be.
I proposed to my wife in kind of a way that I think many people would think was a pretty bad advice. We were only 11 months in, by the way, which normally I would say is not you should probably wait. I bought the ring at 6 months in.
Is the bad advice already starting?
For us, we're 13 years together, three kids, so it worked out well. But in general,
it worked out.
Probably not the best advice, but I bought the ring at 6 months. So I forced myself to wait. And so at 11 months, we decided we were going to take Christmas card photos with each other, like ugly sweater Christmas. And so we went the day before, we made these super ugly, kind of like old school, kind of bad Christmas sweaters to take pictures in. And we go there, and I am obviously freaked out. I have the ring in my pocket the entire time. We convince a friend of ours to go with us just for fun. Like, she has no idea at this point. And obviously, we've been dating for 11 months. Of course, she has no idea that I'm going to propose. But so we were taking these pictures, and I was like, oh, I have an idea for a photo. And I do stupid stuff all the time. So she's not, and as you well know, so she wasn't that surprised by what was going on. And I get down on one knee, and she's still thinking, oh my God, this is so dumb. He's doing a, and then I pull out the ring, and she's like, oh. And this is actually, and so we're getting, and it's cool.
Oh my God.
That we actually do have, you know, Sears, or I think it was JCPenney or Sears, wherever it was, the photo place, taking photos of it. So I got engaged in, you know, this old school kind of, JCPenney photo studio.
Are you serious?
Wearing these ugly sweaters. And the photos turned out great. But so I don't know if I'd recommend.
But I would say
almost everyone I know that is married knew pretty early on that it was like, no, let's, whether or not you end up getting married, or if that's just the one you spend the rest of your life with, it's like, oh yeah, no, that's the one. Like, you know, I knew weeks, I'd not planned on ever getting married. And weeks into it, I was like, oh yeah, she's the last person I'm ever going to date. And that was, and it turned out to be true.
Getting married in a year.
Yeah. Maybe spend a little more time to, wouldn't. You know, we didn't live with each other. We moved in, when we got married, and it was,
you didn't even know her living habits.
To be fair, I'm the harder one to live with. I think it was a lot for me to transition.
Okay,
for her, and because I'm
I feel like you should know what they live like.
And it worked out, here we are, you know, all these years later. But you know, I think we are I don't want to say we're the exception, but it's probably bad advice to do what I did.
I feel like it goes
for really just a really bad story, and it just ended up going well. So it's
sometimes the dice roll in your favor.
All right, well, I think we got some variations of bad and good advice right here. Let's go on to another. I like this one. This one could also, we have to be very careful how we answer this, so someone doesn't get arrested. But question number two, I hate my job with a passion. How can I quit in a blaze of glory? Now, part of this depends. I'm assuming they don't ever want to put this on the resume, and that they're not going to use it. This is not going to be a
resume. Oh, yeah, no.
This is just,
no.
How do I light this on fire?
Absolutely not. They will never tell of this story. Yeah, I was thinking light something on fire. That was probably the first place.
I think my favorite, I can't remember the movie. I'm going to blank out. But my favorite quitting moment in the movie is just, fuck you, you're cool. And what movie was
you're
that?
Cool. I don't remember either.
That's another thing I'll insert in editing later on. But I mean, that's one option. It's old enough now. If your manager is like younger than like 35, they're probably not going to know that reference.
It might not even seem
like you're a genius. If your coworkers are all in their like early 20s or teenagers, this could seem like the most brilliant move ever, and no one's going to know.
Right. You're a legend.
Gonna have people like me sitting in the lobby of wherever you are, hearing that and be like, slow clapping it. So what is your advice?
I think you should hire a mariachi band and have them serenade your leaving. Like, I'm trying to decide if I want it to be like a very happy, like, we are now leaving now, so all you can fuck off, or something like that, like, you know, that kind of thing. Or do I want to do it more like Once Upon a Time in Mexico, where it's very like desperado, you know?
You gotta be careful though, because the insinuation there is something much bad is gonna follow this music.
Oh yeah, much worse, yeah, for sure. But the bad thing that's gonna be happening is like, I quit. Like, it's just like one of very.
I do like the idea.
So, and then you walk out with with them playing in the background.
I don't know if that's bad advice. I think that's brilliant advice. I think that's the best advice. If you can swing it, hiring a full, and I specifically a mariachi band, which is beautiful music. I love
mariachi band.
If you could hire a mariachi band to just like play you out, I mean, it's a gift to your coworkers.
Yeah.
And it's gonna just, I think that's, they're gonna remember you. Right. You're gonna leave it. They will.
They
never
will
forget.
Never forget about
I
that.
I think. Yeah. That's... You know. I'm gonna allow that. That was good advice, and I'm gonna keep it.
Okay.
Oh, this really man. Was fun. I'm gonna give you a chance in a moment to kind of share some good advice. I always like to give everyone a chance to end the episode. If you have any good advice, I'll phrase it and I'll ask you that in a second. But before we get to that, why don't you give you a moment here to tell everyone how can they find you? Where are you at? Where can they find you? How do they look you up?
Yeah, so on Twitter, I go by Sizer Studio, which is the name of my photography business. So that's how you can find me on Twitter. On Instagram and Facebook, I'm just a Sizer GG, which stands for Good Game, because I'm a very avid gamer. So sometimes my content does mix in with that. So it'd be Sizer GG, and on YouTube, I'm just Sizer, C-Y-Z-O-R. So it's just different variations of Sizer.
You're like me. All my names are very similar to each other, but they're I'll throw all those links will be in the
speech prop. Yeah, all those links will be in the
show
notes
so everyone can find you. So I like to end the show though with like on a really positive note and just asking, is there anything you'd like to share with the audience? Any either words of wisdom or advice or a lesson that you've learned about? It could be about photography, it could be about gaming, it could be about content creation, it could be about just life in general, relationships, just something that has stuck with you positively that you carry with you that you'd like to share with my audience.
I'll do photography. I think this one's really important. Most people suck at taking photos. So the thing about it is most people think that the problem with them is that they're not photogenic. That is not the case. Like, people are photogenic. Like to varying degrees, however you want to word it, people are photogenic. But people don't know how to take photos. And so they see other people with really good photos and they think, oh, they're just really photogenic and I'm not. And that's why my photos don't look good. That's not true. It's because you don't know how to take photos. They've taken hundreds, if not thousands of photos of themselves. They've got the practice. They know their angles. They know their lighting. They know all these things. You're also photogenic. You just don't know your angles. You don't know lighting. You don't know how to take your photos. Because the truth of the matter is, if I can take a good photo of you, you're photogenic. And I can take a good photo of anybody. So yeah. So banish the thought. That's what I would suggest is banish the thought of I'm not photogenic, because I hear it all the time. And I prove them wrong all the time. So stop saying that. Stop, putting yourself down on your looks and stuff like that. That this whole self-deprecation thing, it only leads to like you not feeling good about yourself and not feeling confident and stuff like that. The reality is you just don't know how to take your photos. If you practiced, if you learned your angles, and I have videos teaching on TikTok. I've got videos on angles. I've got videos on, posing. I've got videos on all this stuff. But yeah, and people will try them out and they'll be like, oh my God, like that's like night and day difference. So yeah, no, I think that I'll go with that. Like everybody's pretty much, everybody's photogenic. They just, a lot of people do not know.
Awesome. Well, thank you, though. What a great way to end our show today. And everyone go follow Sizer online. He's awesome, awesome, highly recommended account. Thanks for coming again, man.
Hey, thanks for having me.
And that was Bad Advice on a Wednesday. If you enjoyed today's show, please like, please subscribe, share it with your friends, drop a 5-star review. You can always support us financially at patreon.com/thespeechprof. All links of everything we talked about will be available in the show notes. And most importantly, remember, this is intended to be bad advice. Please do not listen to anything we said. I'm sorry.
We like good girls over here.
Oh my.
We like bad girls over here.
We do.
We like girls who fuck for work. All right. We like girls who wanna twerk now.
We like the girlies, don't care if they clean or they dirty, so let me just make it clear. We like the nerdy, the curvy, the attitude wordy, they worthy out over here. Fuck a body count, make your body bounce. Girl, you a baddie, no matter your boundaries. So if you don't really care, then let down your hair.
We like good girls over here.
Oh my.
We like bad girls over here.
We do.
We like girls who fuck for work. All right. We like girls who wanna twerk now. If you